Well, I'd like to thank you for the opportunity to come here tonight to tell you a bit about my life and how the Lord has saved me and how he's changed my life. It always does me good to look back over the years and to think about what the Lord has done for me and just remember how good he's been to me. Can I read from Psalm 103? If you have your Bibles with you, you can turn to it. Starting at verse 8. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth them, his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. Okay. I grew up in a home where both my parents were saved, and all four of my grandparents were saved before that, so it was a great privilege and a great blessing to have that. When I was a small child, I think it was a few weeks before my fourth birthday, I can remember being up in my bedroom and I was looking at a big children's story book, looking at the pictures, a children's Bible. And I can remember thinking, if the Lord comes back now, he's going to take my mum and dad to heaven. But he's not going to take me because I'm a sinner and I know I haven't been saved. I can remember, I think my mum was in the room next door, I think she might be putting away clothes or something, and she mustn't have realised what was going on in my mind because she didn't come into the room, but I remember shouting through the open door and asking her questions, and just the real sense of urgency that I felt that I needed to be saved, and I needed to be saved now, that the Lord could come back at any minute, and I wasn't ready. And I asked the Lord to save me, and he did. And I've never doubted that I've been saved. I know I was saved at that moment in time. Unfortunately, as I grew up and grew into my teenage years, I wasn't living the way I should have been. I lived to please myself as I did what suited me, and I started smoking at a young age. Maybe that's why I never got past 5 foot tall. And not long after that, I started drinking in my early mid-teens. Deep down, the reason I was doing these things, well, obviously sin was the reason I was doing these things, but I wasn't content with my life. I couldn't even content myself to sit in the house one night. I felt I was missing something with all my friends. I had to be out of the house every night. Despite every effort by my parents to stop me, I left home when I was 17. I thought when I had the freedom and no parental control that my life would be exciting and fulfilled, and then I would be content. When I was away from home, things just went from bad to worse, just spiralled out of control. I was taking drugs more and more often. Sorry, I didn't even tell you. Sorry, I'm so nervous. I started taking drugs in my mid-teens. And it's true that one drug always leads to another. Start off, if you ask somebody who takes drugs like heroin or cocaine, you'll not find very many of them who have never smoked cannabis or drugs that just were lower down the ladder. Before long, living on my own and partying, I came across heroin. At first I was very reluctant, and it was quite some time before I actually gave in and tried it. But the devil's very subtle, and people around me had been taking it for months, and it became something that was normal and acceptable. And as I've said, the devil's very subtle, and if people around you are doing something that you know is wrong, may not be heroin, maybe something else, but what your friends are doing will always affect you. It'll always rub off. It's like an infectious disease. If you're around them, it's going to rub off onto you. And the company I was with were doing things, and I was doing the same things before long. I made the mistake of thinking I had control of my life, but I didn't. And in a very short space of time, I was hooked on heroin. I couldn't believe how quickly I'd become addicted to it. People sometimes tend to think that drug addicts come from deprived areas and have had parents who didn't have any money or who didn't care about their well-being. But I can tell you that most of the drug addicts that I know have come from good homes, have had good education, and even a lot of Christian homes as well. You'll never find contentment in drugs or any other kind of sin. The only true way to be content is through the Lord Jesus. Over the next few years of my addiction, my life was like a bad dream. But I've heard it said that if the life of a heroin addict is like a bad dream, the life of their family is like a nightmare. I would love to go back and just reverse things, take things away, but I just thank God that they're all under the blood, that everything's been forgiven. I just thank the Lord that my parents were Christians and they were able to pray for me and to stand by me. Over the next few years, I was in and out of hospital all the time. I tried so hard to come off heroin. I was trying so many times, but I only ever managed to stay off it for short periods of time, maybe a week or two. And in the summer of 2000, I decided that I would come back to the Lord. But I was heading for disaster. I hadn't given the Lord full control of my life. I wanted him to take away the heroin and the addiction and the things I didn't like, but I wanted to keep the things I enjoyed. I didn't want to give up all my sin. And I managed to stay off the heroin for a month or two, but I went back on it. And I had been telling people that I was saved now and I was off heroin because the Lord had saved me. And then when I went back on it, I was so ashamed of myself because it was such a bad testimony, because I knew that it wasn't the Lord who had let me down. And it wasn't the Lord who hadn't the power to keep me. I knew that he had all power to keep me, and that it was my faults and my sin. I had failed him. And do you know, I was so discouraged when I went back on heroin that I determined that I would never try again. I would never come off. I would never come back to the Lord again. And do you know, it's only God's mercy that he didn't remove me from this world at that moment in time. God didn't give me what I deserved. Instead, he gave me what I didn't deserve, and he gave me another chance. About a year later, I was in hospital after taking an overdose, and the Lord brought Chrisen and the Killing into my life. They, I don't know how many of you know them or not, but they're missionaries with the Free Pea Church, and they work with drug addicts in Ballymena. And, you know, Chris and Linda came up to visit me, and I couldn't understand why they kept coming back. They showed me love, and that's something that not very many people have for heroin addicts, because heroin addicts are notorious for hurting everybody around them. And Chris and Linda just kept coming back, and they went on holidays to Scotland, and they sent me a card in the post from Scotland, and just wee things like that. And when they came home, they brought me home a present, and I just couldn't understand why these people were doing this. You know, they hardly knew me, they'd only just met me. And after being in hospital a month at that time, I came out and I decided that I would give my life back to the Lord. Only this time things were to be different. I had an immense fear of the Lord. I knew that I had let him down before, and I never wanted to be in the same position again. I had a sense of his almighty power, and I knew he had my breath in his hand. I had a reverence, and I knew that this was my last chance, and that God would not let me continue to dishonour his name. It's a long, hard road to recovery. Do you know, I remember talking... I'm going to miss the shelf. I remember talking to a male nurse in the hospital, and I remember saying to him, what's the point in me coming off this? My life's already ruined. I'm never going to get a decent job, and things are never going to get any better for me. And he told me that he used to be an alcoholic and that he was working as a nurse. And he told me, you know, you can get your life back on track and things can work out okay. And I thought, no, but that's different, that's alcohol, you know, this drugs, this is different, I'm never going to get sorted from it. But, you know, despite having very little employment history, and even for, I've been arrested for possession of a Class A drug, the Lord promised that he would restore the years the locusts have eaten, and he has. And every application form for every job I've filled in since I come back to the Lord, I've been open and honest, and I have, you know, the section other information, I have written out my whole life story in the section, and I'm sure when people read it, they were very shocked and couldn't believe what was on it. But the Lord has blessed me for it, and I've got every job that I've applied for since I come back to the Lord. And I'm now training as a nurse, and that's something a few years ago I would have thought was impossible. But in Matthew 19, verse 26, it says, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. And the Lord has done so much in my life and just changed it all around. I'm standing here telling you about things that have happened in my life years ago, and it's as if I'm talking about another person. It just doesn't seem like it was really me. It's like, the Lord has done so much, blessed me so much, and he's a wonderful Saviour. And I was just reading before I come up, your wee thing on the wall, he's altogether lovely. And he is. On the 14th of May 2005, my brother Jonathan was killed in a road traffic accident. There were 2 years, all but 6 days, between Jonathan and I. We'd always been very close. Jonathan had asked the Lord to save him too when he was younger, but unfortunately, like me, he had drifted away from the Lord, and his life wasn't the way it should have been. He wasn't on heroin or anything, but he just hadn't included the Lord in his life. You know, Jonathan, a lot of the time, I think if he had let himself, the Lord, the Holy Spirit was convicting Jonathan, and if Jonathan had let himself, let his guard down even for a minute, he'd have given in. I remember one night,
I was lying in bed reading, and he came in after a night out, and he came in and sat on the edge of my bed, and there was a wee track sitting, and the track was about backsliders, and he read it, and tears in his eyes, and he just dusted himself down, and he says, oh, I'm away to bed now, and tried to resist the Holy Spirit. After Jonathan died, I was able to thank the Lord, because the last conversation I ever had with Jonathan was about the Lord. And I'd just like to say, anybody here, just to take every opportunity that the Lord gives you to speak to your loved ones, because you don't know when it'll be your last opportunity. And I just thank the Lord, because if I hadn't had that last opportunity to speak to Jonathan, I'm ashamed to admit it would have been hard for me to remember when the last conversation before that had been. So the Lord definitely helped in that situation. I don't know the Lord's reasons for taking Jonathan. Romans 11 verse 33 says, his ways are past finding out. And Isaiah 55 verse 9 says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. But I do know this, and the Lord makes no mistakes, that his way is perfect, and he doeth all things well. I know that whatever the Lord does is the best way and the right way. He would never hurt us for no reason. Although I love and miss Jonathan terribly, I know he's with Christ, which is far better. After Jonathan died, a verse in Proverbs 29, verse 1 struck me with power. It says, he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Now Jonathan is not destroyed, he's in heaven with the Lord, which is far better. But he was taken away without remedy. Nothing can be done to fix it and to bring him back. But it got me thinking about how when I was backslidden, and when I came back to the Lord, and I had that fear that God could remove me from this world at any time. I believe that when somebody is truly saved and their name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that it can never be removed. But I also believe that a Christian cannot live in sin and get away with it. I had a lot of chances, and I thank God for all the chances I've had. Some people don't get as many chances as I do to repent, but I believe that if a Christian is living in unrepentant disobedience, that one of two things will happen. That when God chastises them, they repent and come back to the Lord, or that they don't return, and that God holds the power in his hands to take the next step and to remove that believer from this world because they're a bad testimony. I know what it feels like to feel the shame of being a bad testimony. And I shouldn't be here. Many times I had taken overdoses. I can remember waking up one time after taking an overdose and somebody saying, oh, somebody's away to get an ambulance for you. You started convulsing and you went unconscious. And I just woke up and everything was just normal. Everything was just the way it had been before I had taken the drugs. And, do you know, that was the Lord keeping his hand on me and preserving my life. I didn't deserve him to preserve my life. And I just thank the Lord that he had mercy on me. But as I've already said, the Lord has restored the years the locusts have eaten. The Lord's been so good to me. He's been so merciful and so gracious. And he's given me a new life. I hope that if there's a backslider here tonight, or even somebody who's not saved, that you will experience the same fear that I experienced. Because it says in Proverbs 9, verse 10, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. There's a saying that I love, A fool learns from his mistakes, but a wise man learns from someone else's. I just hope and pray that someone else can learn from my mistakes. Thank you.